Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Good morning, everyone. If you missed it before, my name is Scott. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that passage that Mark's read for us. And we've had a special morning already, haven't we? Been able to be here for the baptism of Avery, to hear from Aunt and Dave how they want to bring her up and teach her the faith. Really wonderful stuff. And if you've come for that particularly this morning, I'm so glad you're here. But I just want to stop and think about this for a moment. Can I be blunt and ask, does it actually matter? Sorry, Dave and Aunt, you might want to block your ears for a moment, but does it matter? Did Dave and Aunt really need to raise Avery to be like this? Is it the most important thing for them to raise Avery in this old Christian faith thing? Does faith make a difference? Does Christianity matter? I mean, what if Dave and Aunt just got on with doing good, and if they raised Avery to do that as well? Do they really need to bother with the whole baptism thing, with making all the promises they just did? Do they even really need to bother with the whole Christian thing? You know, this kind of question, it's something that more and more people are asking these days. We tend to think these days, you know, I can do good, right? I can be a decent person, I can contribute to society, And I can do that without Christianity, perhaps without any religion at all. I don't need an old book to tell me what's right and wrong. That's just a hangover from the past. And actually, you see this happening in our society more and more. Let me give you one example. If you go back in the day, like 50 or 100 years ago, there were huge amounts of charities in Australia. All of them, just about all of them, run by churches and by Christians. But nowadays, that's just not true anymore, is it? I mean, sure, some still are, but many, even most of them, aren't. And some of the ones that used to be run by churches and Christians, well, now they're just kind of getting rid of their Christian past and moving on from it. So I know it's a bit of a provocative question, and this is church, so we might have to just kind of speak in whispers here, but does the Christian faith actually matter? What's the point of doing all of this? Well, today, as I said, we're going to go through that passage that Mark just read out for us. It comes from Matthew. It's a biography. Matthew's a biography of Jesus' life. And in this, we've actually been looking in a series over a chunk of Matthew, seeing the last week of Jesus' life before he comes to the end. And today we hear Jesus just tell one parable. Parables are just a story that Jesus tells, but the stories that have a bigger point to them, a bigger truth to them. And as we listen into Jesus tell this parable, we're going to see why it is that Christianity does matter. I want to say why Christianity mattered for the people back then, and actually why it still matters for us today, now. So if you've got your Bible there, keep it open to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be in the first 14 verses there, where Jesus tells a parable, and it's a parable all about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if you look at verse 2, you'll see that to be true. It says there, the kingdom of heaven is like, well, it's like a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven here and what it's like to belong to him, to be one of his people. And he says it's like a wedding banquet. Most of us probably have been to a wedding or seen what a wedding is like. And what is it? Well, the weddings are fun times, right? They're a good time. It's a celebration. It's full of happiness and family and friends are all there. And of course, there's food, right? So I remember when I was a student studying at university. Typically uni students don't tend to have a whole lot of money, especially if they move out from where their parents live. And some weeks you kind of live off peanut butter sandwiches, right? I had a friend at uni though, he's a little bit older than me. And in my second year at uni, he got married. It was a party, it was fun. We were down at the surf club for the reception. And there was a big feast. I mean, it's a well-catered wedding, a big feast that wasn't just you get served, but you go up and you choose your food, a buffet-style thing. It was one. After a week of peanut butter sandwiches, this food tasted really good. That's the picture we get here in Jesus' parable. There's a wedding banquet. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. So even really before we get into the parable, you start to see here, don't you, how good God is. You see here the goodness of God. What's the kingdom of heaven like? It's a big celebration. But it's not just that God does this for himself. He doesn't just enjoy all the riches of his goodness on his own. No, he invites people to come into the party. In a moment, we're going to look about who gets invited. But doesn't this show us the goodness of God? Well, what kind of God is he? What is he like? Well, the God of the Bible, he's the kind of God who wants people to enjoy this feast, to enjoy his goodness. He puts on a banquet for us. And in a sense, that's what it is to be one of God's people, that we are those who look forward to the great celebration that God is going to put on for us. See, the God of the Bible is so good, isn't he? Because the question we want to ask then is, who's invited? You know, is it exclusive? Only, you know, the best of the best get to be invited? Or is it open to more than just a really few special people? Well, in the parable, we see who gets invited to the wedding banquet. You pick it up in verse 3, you notice there that some people have already been invited. So the servants, when the banquet's ready, the servants are sent to go out and get them. But these people who were first invited, they don't come in. So even more servants go out in verse 4, but still those invited guests don't come. They don't come because they're undeserving. That's what it says in verse 8. Those invited did not deserve to come. And you would have heard this as Mark read the passage out for us, but the way that they mistreat the servants, that's what shows they're undeserving. Some are passive in the way that they reject the invite. They just go and do their own things. They can't be bothered to listen to the king. Others are more active in their rejection, though. They mistreat the servants and kill them. But both groups show what they think of the king. The servants come with the king's message. And the invited guests, they don't listen to the servants, not because they're rejecting the servants, but it's actually because they're rejecting the king who sent the servants. They're rejecting the king who's asking them to come. And as Jesus tells this parable, it's his way of talking about the nation of Israel back then. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament, they had been invited. They were God's people. They had God's word. They knew God. But they rejected him. And if you were here last week, you'll see this really follows on from the passage in chapter 21 we saw last week of how they reject God's servants, the prophets, how they reject God's son, Jesus. Because ultimately, they're actually just rejecting God and his call on their lives. So in the parable, those who were first invited, they don't come. But it's not like God calls off the party then. No, he says it's got to keep happening. Look at verse 8. I'm going to read out from verse 8. The king says to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So some were first invited. They rejected the king. They don't come. But now the invite goes out everywhere. And this is showing us what's happened in human history. God first invited Israel, the nation of Israel, to be his people, but they rejected that. And so now the invite has gone out all across the world. And so all kinds of people are invited into God's kingdom. I mean, if you just look around church today, you can see this, right? There's people in our church who were born in China and Zimbabwe, in India, Malaysia, in England, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam, in South Africa, in Indonesia, in Singapore, and I'm sure I've missed a couple of places as well. Because the invite to become one of God's people, the invite to be part of the kingdom of heaven, it's actually now open to everybody, no matter where you've come from. But also, it's not just about where you've come from, where you've been born. It's open to people with different abilities and different tastes, different backgrounds, different life stories. It's open to men and women, young and old. People on the left of politics, people on the right, people who support the Crows and people who support Port, and even people who don't know what AFL is. Like, all sorts of people are invited to be part of God's kingdom. And verse 9 shows how true this is. See verse 9, what does it say? Who's invited? The bad, as well as the good. This is scandalous. This is fascinating. Because so often we think that becoming a Christian is about doing better, being good. You know, like there's this scale of cosmic goodness from zero down the bottom there. That's your Adolf Hitler's, right up to your 10 out of 10s, which is, maybe some of us can dream about being there. And, you know, if you're going to be part of God's people, you need to get maybe an 8.75 or higher on the scale, and then you can become a believer. But no, that's not it, right? That's not it, is it? Because who gets invited? It's the bad as well as the good. Jesus is not just here for the nice, middle class, tame, got it all together kind of types. No, Jesus is for everyone. And the invite to come to his great party, to his banquet, it's open to everyone, no matter what your background, no matter what your story. So this has huge implications for us, right? Like, so for example, what do I need to do to be one of Jesus' people? And what I need to do, in a sense, it's nothing. It's you just accept the invitation. In light of this, what do we want to be like as a church here? We want to welcome all sorts. We want to be the kind of church that anyone, no matter what their background, no matter what their story, that they can be welcomed here. They can feel at home. And actually, this is also why we're keen for more and more people to know about Jesus, because his invite is for them too. And again, here, don't you get a picture of what the God of the Bible is like? He's a generous God. He's ready to invite and receive anyone into his kingdom, into his great wedding banquet. All we do is accept that invitation. And this is why Dave and Anne wanted to have Avery baptized today. Because they want this for her. They know God's invite is open to her. They want her to know this. They want her to grow up understanding this. And in time, they're praying that she'll accept that invitation for herself too. Because they want Avery to join them in the kingdom of heaven, where they get to enjoy the goodness of God forever. This is a wonderful parable, isn't it, so far? It seems like really nice stuff happening, but there is that other part to it as well, the other side to this parable. This parable is about everyone being invited, but we do see here that not everyone accepts the invite. And so this parable becomes also a parable about the king's judgment. We saw that with the people who were first invited, how they rejected the king and they killed the king's servants. In the parable, it says that the king comes against them. He sends his army to destroy them. And there's a second time that you see the king involved in judgment here too. It's in verse 11. Let me read from verse 11 again. Have a look at that. It says, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How'd you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and a gnashing of teeth.'" Right now, there's a problem with the way this man has come to the wedding feast, right? Like, have you ever been to a wedding before? When you went to the wedding, what did you wear? It's not a rhetorical question, yeah? Wedding clothes, what does that mean? A little bit more dressy than normal? Well, anyone else, what did you wear when you went to a wedding? A suit, yes. With a tie, even, yeah. That is, at most weddings, right, you don't just come along in your board shorts and thongs. You're not wearing your favorite band's T-shirt with a few holes in it because you had it for ages and threads hanging off everywhere. In fact, can I be completely honest with you? I really dislike wearing a suit. But a couple of years ago, when Mav and Indy from our church got married and I got to marry them, do you know what? I didn't rock up in the clothes that I just felt most comfortable in. I'm sure if I did, I would have I would have known about it pretty quickly. Because we recognize there's something important about a wedding, and so that changes what we do, right? Which is the point here. Okay? When God invites you to be one of his people, there's a right way to respond. We don't just keep doing whatever we want to do. We give our lives over to our God. We give ourselves over to him. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect all the time. We'll still stuff up. We'll still make mistakes. But there'll be a turning point in our lives, right? We'll change the direction of our lives. We'll start living from God and we'll turn our lives to him. In this parable, the man chose not to make a change when he accepted the king's invite. It was another way of rejecting the king's invite. Pretending to be in, but really just wanting to do his own thing, his own way. In the parable, the king got rid of him. Because the parable speaks to us of God's judgment. And at this point, this is where a lot of us have questions. Because we think, isn't God supposed to be a God of love? And why then all this judgment? It doesn't seem to fit well. And a part of us feels like this isn't quite right. This can't be right, can it? But if you think about it, love requires judgment, doesn't it? So imagine for a moment, a parent sees their child being bullied. Imagine for a moment, because we're talking a lot about Dave and Aunt and Avery. Imagine Dave and Aunt raise up Avery. She gets to go to school. Imagine that they pull up to school in the afternoon and they see Avery being bullied by others. Beaten up day after day, over and over again. But imagine, I know this is a stretch here, but imagine Dave and Aunt, they see this happening and they do nothing about it. They just kind of shrug their shoulders and move on with the day. And if you saw Dave and Aunt do that, firstly, you'd be flabbergasted, right? Because, of course, they would never do that. But they'd make you wonder, do they really love Avery here? Because if they did, they wouldn't let this keep happening, would they? It's the same kind of thing with God. If he sees us destroying his world, if he sees us kind of constantly hurting each other, the other people that he has made, and if he just shrugs his shoulders and kind of wanders on, if it doesn't bother him, if he does nothing about it, well, it's not loving of God, is it? In fact, that would be evil. If God is God, he ought to put a stop to evil. See, love and judgments are not the opposites of each other. They actually go together, hand in hand, which is why the God of the Bible is a God of judgment. He will not sit by forever and let his world be ruined, and let the people that he's made be treated badly by others. And he won't also sit aside and let us ignore him forever and treat him as if he is not worth our time. So this parable tells us God judges. And we actually get a picture of what that judgment is like in verse 13, where the man is thrown outside into darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, again, we're in a parable here, right? So this is not a precise description of hell, just like the wedding banquet is not a precise description of heaven. But there is a reality behind the images we get here. So being outside speaks of somewhere that's lonely, that speaks of missing out. Darkness speaks of being where you cannot see things, understand things. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, this is about things being not good, but being joyless. See, Jesus, he isn't telling us this kind of stuff just to make us feel bad or scared, you know, to freak us out or anything, but Jesus wants us to see this is serious stuff that we're dealing with. Serious stuff. This is why Christianity matters. Because actually this is a parable that has eternal significance. It has eternal implications for all of us. I mean, think about the kind of things Jesus is saying here. He's telling us that heaven and hell are real. And while heaven is really good, hell really is not. And Jesus tells us that God's judgment is a real thing. And Jesus is saying to us that this affects all of us, every single one. Look at verse 14 in your passage there. What does it say? For many are invited, but few are chosen. The invite to the kingdom of heaven is open to everyone. Many are invited, but not all come. We've actually all got a decision to make. It's a decision with big consequences. What we do about Jesus matters. So I just want to end with a couple of conclusions for us. Can I firstly speak to you? If you're here today and you're not following Jesus yet in your life, again, so glad you're here. Welcome along. We're so glad you're with us. Can I offer just two ideas, just things that could help you keep thinking about Jesus and thinking about the invitation he gives you into his kingdom. Here they are, just two quick ideas. Number one, why not chat with someone that you know who is a believer? Like, for example, maybe today you've come for Avery's baptism. Again, so glad you're here. Why not chat at some point with Dave or Ant? Why not ask them why they're convinced about Jesus and why they followed him? Just see where that conversation goes. See where it takes you. Or maybe you came here today with someone else. Maybe you came on your own. As I say, feel free to ask the person you came with or ask any of us here who regulars. Come and tap me on the shoulder later if you want to. But just have that kind of conversation. See what people say and consider for yourself, what do you think you are going to do about Jesus? What would it take for you to accept his invitation into the kingdom of heaven? That's the first thing I want to suggest. Second idea, I'd love to invite you to come along to something that we do at church here called Life. Life is really for anyone who wants to explore Jesus more. We do this on Tuesday nights. We actually just had our first night last week, but it's not too late to join. You can still come along. What we do here, we just kind of explore the big things that Jesus said, what really he was on about, the core, the central message. You can ask your questions if you like. You can just kind of kick back and take it all in. It's up to you. But this is a really good way just to be able to explore more about Jesus. And Kirstie's going to be up here, and she'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments. But there's just two things. If you're not sure about Jesus yet, perhaps you could do one of those two things to keep considering Jesus and the invitation he makes to you. But let me finish. I want to talk to you if you're already a believer. And especially if this is your church, I want to talk to you now, because this parable explains a whole lot to us, right? It explains a whole lot of why we do the kind of things we do, right? This parable tells us why we bother to put on the Life series, why we do this over and over again. This parable tells us why mission is one of our big purposes in our church. It actually tells us why we've got Dave on board this year as a ministry apprentice, and he's leading us in the mission area. This is why we do the big questions thing in term three, and why we pray for our friends, why we love and give to our mission partners. This is why we want to keep encouraging each other to have conversations with our friends. This is why we want to be involved in planting more churches, and why we will try new things and different things and even things that will push us out of our comfort zone. It's because of what we're seeing here, isn't it, friends? Because heaven and hell are real, and because Jesus' invite is for everyone. And so really, we just want to be like those servants, right? Sent by the King with his message, inviting people to come into the wedding feast, inviting people to come into the kingdom of heaven and to enjoy God's goodness and his blessing forever. This is a parable that has big eternal implications for us all. So what I want to do to finish up is actually just pray now for all of us that God would help us live in light of what we've heard today. Let me pray. O God of all the earth, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus and all that he has done for us. And we wanted to say thank you for what we've been able to hear from him today and reflect on. Thank you that he has shown us what is true about you and what is true about us, and he's given us eternal hope. If we accept your invite, we can join you in the kingdom of heaven, the great wedding feast. Father, there's some amongst us today who don't yet know Jesus, who aren't following him. Please help them to make the right next step, to keep understanding Jesus, to keep figuring him out for themselves. And there are those among us here today who are already following Jesus. Please help them, we pray, Lord, to be won over by what Jesus says more and more, to be convicted and convinced in our hearts that the things Jesus says are true. We pray that then we might live in light of this truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.